Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line with Jeff Palermo from Louisiana Radio Network. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Bobby and I were talking about it. Showdown, LSU, South Carolina, and we're talking about women's basketball. So that goes to show you what Kim Mulkey has done for this program, that's going to be a headline event.
Well, I mean, even look at Sunday's game against Arkansas, 4 o'clock game, you know, going up against the NFL playoff games, and there's over 12,000 fans in that place. And they were loud, and they were in the game right away. Of course, it helped when LSU jumped out to an 18-0 lead. But Thursday night will be crazy. It is not a stretch to say that it is the most anticipated women's basketball game in regular season history for LSU. I mean, obviously, we all anticipated once they got to the Final Four in the national championship game, and, you know, Simone Augustus and Sylvia Fowles, they played in some big games, too, during their time. But here you have LSU as a defending national champion taking on the number one team in the country in South Carolina, a matchup that we thought we were going to see a rematch of last year when South Carolina beat LSU in February. They didn't play in the SEC tournament. They came close to facing each other in the national championship game. Of course, Iowa knocked up South Carolina in the semi, so it never happened. So this is going to be awesome on Thursday night. And South Carolina is a much different team than they were last year. A lot of different players. 4 of their top 5 scorers are not back from a year ago. So it's not exactly the same team as last year. But South Carolina right now, even though LSU is the national champs, I mean, South Carolina is the top program in women's basketball at the moment.
Now, Jeff, when you look at it, really at the PMAC, and you have events there, and I don't know if you're going to look in a crystal ball like 10 years ago going forward, and you talk about the crowd they had for women's basketball, but also now you have it also for women's gymnastics and how popular that is.
Yeah.
And that making the Final Four last year. So it seems like that you look at the PMAC and how the fans have supported, whether it's women's gymnastics or women's basketball.
No, and that's a good point, Bobby. I mean, gymnastics had a meet on, it was Friday night, actually, yeah, Friday night, and that place was jam-packed as well. I've always said that, you know, as far as entertainment value, as far as an LSU athletic event, as far when it comes to the cost and what you're getting entertainment-wise, a gymnastics meet is you can't beat it. It's the best bang for your buck when it comes to going to actually watch an LSU event because it's nonstop action. There's music. There's all it. The whole family can get into it, and so what gymnastics has done towards the tail end of D.D. Bro's time as the coach, it really started to take off. And you know, now LSU is getting some of the top gymnasts in the country. I mean, in the country. And you have borderline Olympic athletes competing on the LSU program. And it's been impressive. And, I mean, it's Kaia Johnson. What she is doing 1 year removed from an Achilles injury is very impressive. I mean, we were all wondering about Aaron Rodgers and whether he'd be able to come back from an Achilles during the football season last year. But what Kaia Johnson's doing is pretty remarkable to 1 year off an Achilles injury and you're scoring tens on events. That's pretty impressive.
Jeff, one of the things, Tommy Rees today looks as though he has come to an agreement to become the tight ends coach with the Cleveland Browns. That was a lot of rumors. Now, I don't know, you know, how true all that was about him just because of prior connections with Brian Kelly. I would think fairly soon you're going to hear an announcement from Brian about the offensive coordinator job, and it may be sort of a split title deal, but right now I would think Joe Sloan is in the driver's seat for this.
Yeah, I can't imagine they're moving in any other direction, and they really don't have many. They don't have, since they got five defensive coaches, and you can only have 10 as far as on-field coaches, and then you got, of course, the special teams coach, which is part of that 10. So you've already used five spots on defense. And granted, you can split up special teams. I get it. But, okay, you got five on defense. You got to have a wide receivers coach. That's six. You're going to have an offensive line coach. That's seven. You're going to have a running backs coach. That's eight. You're probably going to have a tight ends coach. That's nine. Quarterbacks coach slash, well, it, I mean, by the process of elimination, you're obviously keeping Joe Sloan. So he's got there's just not a lot of spots. There's just not a spot there to bring in another offensive coordinator and keep Joe Sloan just that quarterbacks coach. So they obviously got to bring in a tight ends coach because Mike Denbrock was coaching tight ends. So you'll probably have a tight ends coach. And I would think Joe Sloan is going to be your offensive coordinator. I think what has happened here is, you know, the defense was such a mess, and that was something that they had to address right away. And I think that's where Brian Kelly's focus has been here the last 2 weeks. Now that you have that taken care of, and I'm sure he had a conversation with Tommy Rees to see where he was at, and I can't imagine that they didn't. But now that is, you know, officially that can't happen with him going to the Cleveland Browns, I think it's just a matter of time where Joe Sloan is named your offensive coordinator and they go from there.
Now, Jeff, you know, obviously the LSU fan base, what about our defense? And you mentioned that. And it seems like that we definitely must, who you're familiar with, and you definitely like what the Missouri Tigers were able to do as you hired their defensive coordinator, Blake Baker. And I'm looking at Baker inherited a defense at Mizzou. They were 113 in the nation in scoring, giving up basically 34 points a game in 2021. And then you look each of the next 2 years, they were able to rank, 56 in scoring defense in his first season. Then this fall, they only gave up right under 21 points per game, which was 25th nationally and fourth in the SEC. And then you look at this season, recorded 39 sacks, 88 tackles for a loss, tied for third in the SEC, and top 20 nationally in both categories. So it stands to reason who you trust and who you want that we've kind of pilfered Missouri staff with not only Blake Baker, but getting a couple of other guys.
Well, I think all the hires, at least on paper, they certainly look outstanding. And I know it's easy to say that. There's not too many times where you sit there and say, well, that's a bad hire. But you can't argue with the fact that Blake Baker turned around a program or turned around a defense at Missouri that was just absolutely scuffling and has made it one of the best in the Southeastern Conference. You get someone in Kevin Peoples who's shown the ability to develop edge rushers. And I think that's kind of the biggest thing that we're looking at here is, and granted, I don't think there's as much talent on these NFL, on this LSU defense as we've seen in previous LSU defenses where you would see guys year after year, a defensive player get selected in the first, second round or whatever it may be. But there was just no development from the players on defense this season. And I think what you have here are that they brought in are guys that are going to develop players. They all of them have a track record on that. We all know about Corey Raymond. Kevin Peoples has done that. Bo Davis, the interior defensive line coach, he has been able to develop guys into Big 12 player of the year, Outland Trophy winners. I mean, all these guys have a track record of taking talent and making it even better. And I think that's one of the things that was lacking with that 2023 defense. And all you have to do is look at the bowl game from when you watch them perform against Wisconsin and you came away from that game saying, how is that even any better than what you saw in the season opener against Florida State? That can't happen. And
yeah,
I think
you know, Jeff,
really
Brian
Kelly's decision to go ahead and fire Matt Howell.
Yeah, Jeff, I was looking at, like, we allowed 506 yards against a mediocre Wisconsin offense. I was like, no, they have to have changes, right? I mean, I think all the fans, even the common fan who casually maybe follows this, Wisconsin was not very good offensively, but they looked good against us.
And you had a month to prepare for them.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, it was. I thought it was eye-popping how bad it was. Because I don't know, I guess I was fooled into thinking that they could at least, you know, hold Wisconsin to 3 touchdowns or less. But heck, it was 14-0 before you were able to really get comfortable and watch that game.
Jeff, I was getting gas from my truck the other day. A guy walks up to me and he's like, Mike, I can't wait for LSU baseball. I know it's going to be a real short period of time, and LSU baseball will be cranked up. It'll look different this year because, okay, to replace, you know, Cruz and Skeens, man, that's difficult. But Jay has done such a fantastic job recruiting, and while it will look different, I think that their team, no matter what magazine you get or what you're looking at rankings, they're in the top 5, on everybody's top 5. Your thoughts on LSU baseball as we're just a couple weeks away from it?
And Jeff, like Mike was saying, it seems like if you look at, like, I don't know, coaches poll or whatever, any Baseball America.
Baseball Digest, D1 Baseball.
That doesn't it seem like every year, Jeff, that, okay, you have 3 of the top 5 from the SEC and 6 out of the top 10 from the SEC.
Yeah, and you see Arkansas, Florida LSU.
It seems like it's like that every year.
Yeah.
and Vanderbilt's always hovering around there as well. I mean, Wake Forest is kind of the new kid on the block. I mean, I see a lot of them have Wake Forest as the preseason number one. But, yeah, it will be different because no Dylan Cruz, no Paul Skeens. I mean, those are 2 superstar players. You'll never see that again. We're 1-2 in the Major League Baseball draft, but the depth that they have pitching wise, I think it's very impressive. Because you go back to the 2023 season, we're scratching our head in, you know, late April, early May, and wondering how the heck is Jay Johnson gonna, you know, how's he gonna construct a pitching staff? Because all he has is Paul Skeens, and every now and then a couple other guys show up, and that's all he has. But he's got a lot more at his disposal this year. I kind of wonder if this team, you know, last year was, it was such a team that you could play for the big inning because he had so many more home run hitters. I kind of wonder if maybe you see a little bit more stealing out of this team, a little bit more where they'll try to be a little bit more aggressive on the base pass. I mean, I think that's one of the great things about Jay Johnson. I think he could be, based on his personnel, he can do it a little bit differently. But the expectation is that this is going to be another Omaha team. I think going into last year, you sat there and say, man, if Paul Skeens, if this guy is legit, and you got a pretty quick idea that this guy was legit early on in the season, and you knew how good Dylan Cruz was, and Tommy White was the real deal, you got a sense pretty early on in that season that, hey, this is not just an Omaha team. This is a national championship team. So I don't know when we'll get that feeling, if we'll ever get that feeling, and this is with this 2024 squad. But man, they're going to be very good, and Jay Johnson's got it rocking and rolling. He has figured it out, and it's a place to go. I mean, for a while there, LSU kind of lost its luster when it comes to getting some of the best players, but he's figured out the transfer portal so well. He's been able to retain guys. You're not losing as many guys to the Major League Baseball draft. NIL helps and all that, but he's really figured it out, and he's just a no-nonsense guy, and there's a bit of Nick Saban in him, man. It's all about the process. They won the national championship. I actually talked to Hayden Travinsky today, and just listening to him talk, it's like, I don't really want to talk about 2023 anymore. That's old news. It's all about 2024. Right now they're in their individual workouts, getting better today, once the team workouts start, I think at the end of this week, you know, then it's just one day at a time, and it's all about the process. So it's I think LSU baseball could be a juggernaut program here over the next, you know, 5 or 10 years with Jay Johnson at the helm.
You know what, Jeff, before, you brought his name up, but Nick Saban, I haven't talked to you because that's monumental. What is your take? Because I respect your opinion on Nick Saban. There's no way Alabama could be as good as they've been under Nick Saban. Well, what's your take on that?
Well, they have to come back to the pack. I mean, you just can't. What did Saban win? 9 conference championships in 17 years. 7 national titles. I don't think that could be duplicated. In particular, I think in this NIL transfer, well, in particular in this transfer portal world, because Nick Saban was able to recruit these 5-star prospects. And when you got a 5-star prospect, well, he just sat there for a couple of years until the other 5-star prospect in front of him moved on. And it was just like, it was like an assembly machine, right? I mean, it was just one guy coming through. And now, as we saw with Lance Hurd at LSU, if the 5-star prospect doesn't get on the field, well, he's going to go somewhere else. So I don't think you can – it's just so hard to duplicate that. So Alabama comes to the pack a little bit. LSU can come up more to the top once, you know, Brian Kelly figures out things defensively and gets even more personnel there. And I think it makes for a little more wide-open SEC. The thing that I've been kind of thinking about, okay, it's at this point, you look at it, Kirby Smart is the best coach in college football, but who's number two? I mean, it's kind of hard to figure that out at this point, just because it's open now. And I think everyone has a chance. And I don't, you know, when Brian Kelly signed that 10-year deal, I don't think he thought in 2 years you'd only have to deal with Nick Saban in 2 years. So he's probably sitting there saying, okay, this is the time where I got to hit, you know, the iron is hot, I guess you could say. This is where I need to strike. And that's why I think it was pretty decisive as far as what he wanted to do on that defensive coaching staff. This is the time where it's time to take this program, that a 10-win program, it's got to get accelerated another level or two, where LSU is certainly competing for national championships, especially now that a big nemesis has been weakened because they no longer have Nick Saban as their head coach.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. All I got to tell you is, number two coach in college football, I don't know if he stays there, but if he decides to stay at Michigan, Jim Harbaugh is going to be in that pack each and every year. But it's iffy if he stays now. That's real iffy.
It's a foregone conclusion. He's going to the NFL.
Yeah, I think he is too.
All right, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys.
Jeff Palermo from Louisiana Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.